morning. What a fantastic. I don't know about you, but God's just been saying so much to me in the last 5 minutes. And I realise why I've been feeling nervous about preaching this morning. Because all what I had to share and what God gave me to share, I keep saying that that's not for us. It's not for me. It's not for the people in this church. But there was one particular line in a song we sang there, and it said that our memories taken the place of God. And sometimes that can happen. Sneaks up on us slowly. We forget to pray enough. We forget to read the Word of God. We forget to fellowship. And the word that God gave me was a bit of scripture. I hope they live through that. I'm glad I'm not out there, because they probably wouldn't if I was out there. Bit of scripture about people standing before God and saying, "Lord, Lord, I did this in your name. I went and did that in your name. Went and looked at that person over there. I gave this. I gave that. I prayed all the time." And the Lord turns around and says, "Depart from me. I don't know you." And I don't know how it's like for young Christians today, but when I first got saved, I was asked the question a number of times by different people, "Do you know the Lord?" That's the wrong question. The question is, does God know you? Does God know me? That's the question each one of us have to ask. It's rhetorical in this place this morning, but we need to ask the question, does God know me? When I go to stand before him, will he say, and I'm hoping he does, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Or will he say, "Depart from me, I don't know you"? Now, I've had this bit of scripture going through my brain for about the last 5 weeks. Last Tuesday night, we went to the prayer meeting, and James said, "Have you seen the video?" And I said, "What video?" And Matthew brought it up on his tablet. Anyway, I should have got him to organise it to pray it this morning, but only goes for a few minutes. But it's about a guy narrating what happens to him after his death. And he goes up to heaven, and he gets to the gates. He opens the gates and goes in. And he's saying to himself, "I'm hungering to see Jesus." We just read it, sang that line, one line in there about seeing his face. And then he looked around, and there he was in the distance, and he got closer. But he wasn't looking at him, he was facing the other way. And eventually he gets there, Jesus turns around, looks at him, and says, "Who are you?" Now that's something that none of us want to hear. Something that none of us want to hear. If, as in the words of that line in that song, that our memories take the place of Christ in our life, we need to do something about that. Because our eternity depends upon it. I want to read from Matthew 25, starting at verse 31. And it says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all his angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All of the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right side and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Colin brought a prophetic word this morning about moving. Not letting anything, not letting people, not letting anything get in our way of our moving. And I believe what God's saying is you're moving to doing these things. To visiting those that are sick. Now, I think it's fantastic that we can pray for people and see God move and heal. But we should still go and see them. I remember when a man who used to come to this church years ago had a triple bypass operation. And this is not me, it's someone else. And after the operation, he didn't want any visitors because he was stuck up in a bed with tubes and pipes and wires coming out of every section of his body. It's not a pretty sight. And when I had my operation and woke up in ICU with all sorts of things coming out of my body in all sorts of places, I thought, I don't want anyone to see this either. It's not a pretty sight. But I had some people that come and visit me. And I had lots of people that didn't come and visit me too. But I was surprised at the ones that came, both while I was in hospital and when I came home from hospital. Some were fulfilling this bit of scripture, some were not. But that's between them and God, not me and them. Years ago, we had a member of this church that ended up in prison. Not many people went and visited the man in prison. And I don't know whether you've done prison visitation, but it's not easy just to go and visit someone in prison. It's amazing the stuff you've got to go through. You know, you've virtually got to be Jesus Christ himself, and then they don't want to let you in. Of all the things you got to go through. So as Jesus says here, when people go and visit people in prison, that's not an easy thing to do, but it's something we should not shy away from. There is specific prison ministry that people do that on a regular basis. Then he talks about being hungry and about having no clothes and having no food and nothing to drink. But he says that when he was hungry, when he was thirsty, when he didn't have any clothes, these people come and met his needs. They moved, they put action on their faith. And I was reminded in James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26, where it speaks about faith without works is dead. And, you know, we can say all we like, we have faith, but if it doesn't have legs, if it doesn't move, then it's a lie. Then this scripture goes on from here to the ones on the other side. Well, actually, it goes on and says, "The righteous will answer him, 'When did we see you hungry, feed you, thirsty, or give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' The king will reply, 'I tell you the truth. Whatever you did to one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it unto me.'" When we do these things unto the least in the community, the ones that can't help themselves, the ones that don't have family and friends around to meet their needs, then we're doing it to Jesus. When you do it to your family and friends, it's the same thing as well. But Jesus is talking about the least in the community. Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. they also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick, or in prison, and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do to one of these, the least of these, you did not do it to me. They will go away to eternal punishment, but righteousness to eternal life. You know, our position in heaven is conditional. Salvation is not. It's a free gift of God. It comes by us giving our life and our hearts to Jesus. But if that's all we do, and I've heard stories about people thinking, well, I'm just going to sneak in under the gate and live in a tin shed down the back. Well, that ain't going to happen. I think this guy's rendition of getting to heaven, going through the gates, looking into the face of Jesus, and Jesus saying, I don't know you. Who are you? Who are you? One thing we need to do as Christians, looking around this room, I think everybody here is confident of their position in Christ. But there are Christians that are not sure. There are Christians that are afraid. The Bible tells me that perfect love, being Jesus, casts out all fear. We can't sit on our laurels. I was thinking of Lynn last week said, well, I had this sermon to do with a group of ladies and it didn't happen. And now I come along, same sermon, I don't know what's fitting. But a lot of what she talked about last week was obedience. I don't know whether she realised it, but I realised why she preached last week. It's a prelude to what I'm saying this morning. Jesus is talking about obedience here. Are we truly obeying God? And we probably all have a different idea of what obedience is. But this is where it hits the road. Obedience is doing or being God to these people, our brothers and sisters, those people around us that have needs. Not sitting back on our laurels and saying, I'm okay. And as the prophetic word came this morning, we need to be moving, doing. That's what God requires. As I said, I'm sure that everybody in this room will get to heaven and God will say, well done, good and faithful servants. But if you know Christians that are unsure of their position in Christ, come alongside them. Encourage them. Show them the word. Be a friend. Be Jesus to them. Because we don't want anyone to get to heaven and have Jesus say, who are you? I don't know you. So we need to love these people as Jesus loves the church. And that question of does Jesus know you? Only you know that, and only he knows that. And each one of us, as the Word of God says again, we all need to work out our own salvation. Because that's the only thing that's going to count, our relationship with him and his relationship with us. So if there's anyone here that is in any doubt of their relationship with Jesus this morning, I'm not going to ask you to come to the front, but if you want to speak afterwards, I'm always here willing to encourage anyone in their relationship with God. The enemy who is real, who is out there trying to deceive. Read a bit of scripture last night that if it was possible, he can deceive the very elect. But thank God, God says it's not possible. But people get tricked. They fall into his snares all the time. If not, there would be no Christian that falls. sadly, I know lots of Christians that are not walking with God anymore. And they possibly fall into this category when they get there. Jesus says, who are you? I do my best when I come alongside to encourage them to return back into relationship with Jesus. Because that's really all that matters. But that relationship with Jesus is reflected in our relationship with one another. You know, we were having a bit of a discussion the other day about governments and the things that they do today, like education, hospitals, and all of the things like that, who God started, instigated through the church to bring these things into being over the years. All of these good things that governments do were started in the church. Sadly, along the way, the church let go of it and let governments take over it. And it doesn't run the way God wanted it to run. Because one of the things I've noticed in this short life that I've had, you give government an inch, they'll take 10 miles, not one. If you're involved in anything and government put money into it, especially if you're involved in, as a church, the government will eventually take over. I don't know whether you've been keeping abreast of this freedom of religion legislation that the government's talking about at the moment. If I could encourage all of you to pray and to keep on praying that God comes through in this. Because part of that is they're now telling Christian schools that they have to have openly homosexual people teaching and they can't do anything about it. I refuse to use that word G-A-Y because it speaks about happiness. It's been hijacked. And I don't care who's listening to this, that's the fact. I get really annoyed when they take the symbol that God stuck in the sky to say he was not going to flood the earth and kill mankind, put a symbol there to show us that that's what it's about. They hijack it as their flag. We need to be moving. We need to have legs on our faith. We need to have legs on our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if it's a situation when our memories are taking his place, then we need to do something about it. Otherwise, there's a real chance. And when we go to heaven, he will say to us, who are you? I do not know you. And as I said, if there's anyone here this morning that has doubts about their relationship with God, speak to someone about it. Someone you trust, someone that can help encourage you to come in a closer walk with God. One of the things I realized after my operation is that I'm so secure that whatever happens to me when I die, it doesn't worry me. I remember when I said to the doctor when he wanted me to go and have the operation, and I said, I'm not going, I've booked a cruise. And I am not wasting that money for nobody. And he said, well, what if you have a heart attack? And I said to him, so be it. If I do, I do. God's in control of that, not me. Anyway, I'm still here. Went on the cruise, come back and had the operation. Other things happen when it happens, what I've been trying to do for years. God works in mysterious ways. And he's still working in mysterious ways. He has this fantastic word that he wants us to get into. He wants us to take hold of it. He wants us to... Have you ever watched a cow chew its cud? Have you? Put your hand out if you've watched a cow. You have, I know that. You're part cow anyway, but that's in a nice way I'm saying that. But I remember when I was a kid, out riding my push bike at night without lights on, I got pulled over by the local copper. He used to terrorise the community on his motorbike and sidecar. And I was standing there chewing gum. And he looked at me and he said, "Do you always chew like a camel?" And I was about to have a go at him and then I realised who he was. So I shut up and said nothing. Because he was the law. Well, Jesus is the law. The law of love. And I don't know whether this is getting furious. I've been so nervous about bringing this word this morning. But God wants us to be real. He wants us to love people as he loves them. I don't believe God wants to say to anybody, "Go away, I don't know you." But he didn't go to the cross just for a few. He went to the cross for everybody. Even those that say no, he went to the cross for. So he wants everybody to come to a knowledge of the truth and hang on to it. If you know people that have come to a knowledge of the truth and walked away from it, go and encourage them to come back. Do whatever it takes. One thing I love about Jesus, he didn't compromise. He didn't compromise with the truth. He didn't compromise in his relationship with people. If he thought they were a mob of vipers, he told them. If they were hypocrites, he told them. But that was his own people. He didn't say that to the lost. Although I guess they were lost. If you look at the way they were doing, they were religious, but not necessarily following the things of God. But if there's anyone here that's unsure of their salvation this morning, come and see me afterwards. I'd love to talk with you, pray with you, show you the truth and the word of how wonderful Jesus is. Can the musos come? Father, I thank you this morning that just as your word says, and I think we sang it in a song this morning, that you're always the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, that gives us confidence. Lord, we can follow you in obedience. We can do the things you've called us to do. Lord, your word is so fantastic. You're so fantastic that you tell us quite clearly that with you we can do all things. So Lord, help us to do all things, to be all things to all people, as the Apostle Paul said. Lord, we recognise, just as he did, that we quite often do the things we don't want to do and we don't do the things we want to do. But Lord, that's the fantastic thing about repentance. Because, Lord, with and through repentance comes absolute forgiveness. Father, we can move on to the next step. Father, bless these people. Bless your children, Father, in their daily lives. Especially, Father, in these days in which we live, which seem to be getting harder and harder, darker and darker. But Lord, as long as you're on the throne, your light's going to shine through. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.